Could a new leader get BlackBerry out of its jam?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Adrienne Hill. There's a new boss at Research in Motion. That's the firm that makes BlackBerry phones. Torsten Hines took reins today at the struggling Canadian company. He replaces the two former CEOs who helped turn the firm into one of the top mobile phone makers in the world. On a conference call earlier today, Hines said people shouldn't expect dramatic rethinks under his charge.
I don't think that there is some drastic change needed. We are evolving. We are evolving our strategy. We are evolving our tactics, our processes.
But is evolving really enough? The BlackBerry seems to have lost some of its addictive qualities, or at least been replaced by other smartphone addictions. For more, we've got Marketplace's Jennifer Collins. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning.
So Hines says he's not going to remake the company in any dramatic way, but doesn't RIM need to do something?
Yeah. Apple and Google's Android systems claim more than 90% of new smartphone purchases. Only 1 in 20 is a BlackBerry. So some say Research in Motion should stop trying to compete for regular customers like you and me. It should go after big institutional buyers. Chris Green is a tech analyst with Davies Murphy. He says the BlackBerry is still popular with hospitals, law firms, not to mention government agencies. And the simple reason is security.
You can disable them the moment one gets lost, so we don't have instances of confidential information getting into the hands of wrong people. This is where BlackBerry is extremely strong, where it's stronger than the likes of Apple.
Or any other phone maker, for that matter.
So what could BlackBerry do to attract new customers?
Well, BlackBerry is stuck in this chicken and egg situation. Right now, phone makers need apps to get people to buy their phones. They also need lots of users to get developers to make those apps. And this morning, the new boss, Torsten Hines, says a new phone coming out later this year will be able to play Android apps. But Roger Kay of Endpoint Technologies says that's just a workaround for a pretty troubled company.
It's been going in the same direction for so long that it's hard to imagine it turning on a dime and doing something completely different.
So far, investors aren't too thrilled either. Shares are down this morning.
Marketplace's Jennifer Collins, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
The solar industry has hit a bit of a dreary patch. Think double-digit stock price drops, analyst downgrades. The world's biggest solar market, Germany, is clouding over, as are other parts of the world. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Scott Tong has our story.
It sounds weird, but solar actually did too well in Germany. As a new energy source, it got generous subsidies. But the environment minister says the plan got too popular and broke the subsidy bank. Martin Siemenek works at Bloomberg New Energy Finance.
It's very obvious, especially in the south of Germany. Bavaria is possibly almost all covered by now with modules.
So they're taking away the solar punch bowl. Subsidies will phase out quickly and sales will slow. Strike two for the $82 billion industry is the U.S. market. American firms have sued Chinese competitors over unfair pricing. Jesse Pichel at investment bank Jefferies expects that will lead to tariffs and higher prices all around.
Higher priced solar panels means at least some projects in the U.S. will not get done.
It doesn't help that a key competitor, natural gas, is at its lowest price in a decade. But down the road, Pichel sees a vast solar market globally. Long-range forecast? Partly sunny. In Washington, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Now, let's do the numbers. Markets are down ever so slightly this morning. The S&P is off 0.1%. The Nasdaq is down 0.2%. The Dow is off 25 points. It's at 12,695. We've got a new silver lining to the housing bubble. A new study shows that U.S. housing is more affordable than any other English-speaking country. Also today, drilling company Halliburton says its net income jumped 50% in the last 3 months of 2011. The company benefited from an increase in hydraulic fracturing, or fracking. And in Europe, government leaders officially announced sanctions against Iran over its nuclear program. Iran, in return, reiterated threats to close the Strait of Hormuz.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Invest Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland, a European location offering a workforce that's well-educated, smart, and driven. More at investni.com/invest. And by GoToMeeting by Citrix, bringing high-definition video conferencing to online meetings for face-to-face collaboration. More at GoToMeeting.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
The Year of the Dragon starts today. It's considered the luckiest in Chinese astrology. Chinatowns around the U.S. will celebrate with firecrackers, parades. And while Chinatowns remain symbolically important to Chinese Americans, not as many are calling them home. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith reports.
The largest Chinese population in New York used to be in Manhattan's Chinatown. Now it's across the East River in Queens. The same thing is happening in Chinatowns from San Francisco to Seattle to Boston.
The importance of traditional Chinatown as residential neighborhoods has been declining for some time.
Wei Li is a professor of Asian American Studies and Geography at Arizona State University. She says nearly three-quarters of Chinese immigrants have come to the U.S. in the last two decades. The existing Chinatowns were too small to accommodate that growth. And says Wei Li, there's been a socioeconomic shift in those immigrants, too.
Many of them are wealthy as well as armed with higher education degrees.
And want to buy a house in a good school district. So they head to the burbs. Wei Li says traditional Chinatowns still have a role catering to lower-income immigrants, older residents, and tourists. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
And finally, last week we told you about the leap second. It's a second of time added to calendars every year or so to basically keep our clocks in line with the Earth's rotation. A UN group was set to decide if we should keep it or dump it, but they just couldn't come up with a decision. So they put it off till 2015, which is a pretty massive procrastination, at least in relative terms. That's more than 94 million seconds, 3 years, all over a single second of time. In Los Angeles, I'm Adrienne Hill. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
In the Philippines, the link between religion, birth control, and global hunger becomes pretty clear.
There will be doubling of the population, there will be overcrowding of people, there will be a survival of the fittest.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Our series Food for 9 Billion continues. That and the numbers from Wall Street as well, next time on Marketplace. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.